Hallelujah. And it's, I like it when I know if I'm talking to somebody, A, that they're listening. Right? Have you ever talked to somebody you knew they weren't listening at all? And I'm not talking about just kids either, by the way. I mean, you know, you're staring right in their face and they're 1,000 miles away. But not only that he's listening, but that he's energized into what we're saying. And he wants to respond. He wants to help us. He wants to be with us. And that's his M.O., amen? Hallelujah. So prayer is not just talking. Prayer is listening. Right? Prayer is a two-way street, and God is into that. He loves it when His kids come expectantly. In fact, He said, you know, all of us, if we're Christian and we've been saved and we want to please God, right? I mean, that's our motive, just like with our earthly father. We want Daddy to be proud of us. We want Daddy to be pleased with us. We don't want Him to be ashamed of us. He said in order to please Him, first of all, you have to believe that He is. That's awesome. We all believe that He is. But we also have to believe that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. What does that mean? That if I seek Him, I'll find Him. In the expectation in my prayer, I have to believe that He's going to hear me. And if He hears me, He's going to answer me. But I have to be listening for His answer. Right? Most of us, most of the time, you know why you can't remember people's names? You know, people come in and introduce themselves and 5 minutes later, who is that? I forget. Because most of the time, we're listening to respond instead of listening to hear. Right? We're listening so that we can give our astute wisdom back, or we can, what am I going to say next, or whatever. And we miss what they say because we're more focused on us than them. And sometimes I think that's the way we pray. And it's like, I don't hear God because I really want Him to hear what I'm saying. And I want to have my response ready if He says anything to me. Right? Those are just thoughts. They're extra. They're not in my notes or my sermon at all. But in John chapter 16, and these are incredible verses, but 23 says this, and in that day, and Jesus is talking to the disciples, and He's talking about the day that He's going to go away. He's going to go to heaven. He's going to go to the cross, do all of His work. In that day, we're still in that day. Let me just say that again. You and I are in that day. You and I are in that day. So Jesus is talking to us, and He's saying, in that day, in this day, today, right now, in that day you will ask Me nothing. Isn't that interesting? Most assuredly, I say to you that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus said, listen, He's My Father and your Father. In fact, when He talked to His disciples to pray, what was the first part of it? Our Father. Like, He's your and my Father. But He said, at that day, what I'm going to require, or what is required, is that you go to Him in My name. This was great. I was listening to something this morning, and I forget the gentleman's name, or I'd give him credit for it. He said, do you want to know? And he said, always remember this. But do you want to know why we pray to the Father in Jesus' name? And, you know, and he said, here's the reason. It's because you can't go to Him in your name. Let me say that again. You cannot go to Him in your name. Why? Because your name is you before Christ. Your name is you in your sin. Your name is you before the transforming act of Jesus in your life. But after that act, you go to Him in His name, because in Him, you take on His characteristics. that's in Him, you take on His characteristics. So when I say, Father, in Jesus' name, yes, I'm coming. And yes, you look at me individually and you love me individually. But I'm coming to you washed in the blood. I'm coming to you as a new person. I'm coming to you, glory to God, as the redeemed. I'm coming to you as the accepted. I'm coming to you not as God who can't be touched with my infirmities or the feelings of that I'm going through, but I'm coming to you as the one who loves me. So just think about it. We pray it so routinely, and Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you right now and I ask for my bills. I ask for everything. Amen. But think about that. I'm coming to the Father who is the creator of everything. I'm coming to the Father who put the stars in their place. I'm coming to God who is so holy that Moses couldn't see Him face to face or He'd have been struck down dead. I'm coming to that God, but I'm coming in Jesus' name. It's so transformative that He said, you can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in your time of need, because we're not coming in our name. We're coming in His name. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. See, I believe God wants us to be so aware of our place in Jesus that we have such a tremendous confidence that He hears us when we speak, that He's there when we call upon Him. And I'll tell you where, and I'm not going to get off subject, but I just want to tell you where my heart is. I want to be so in His presence and have His presence so with me that when I'm around other people, it rubs off on them. Let me just say that again. Don't you want, like, if God says, now listen, I want you to go witness to that person in the third aisle at the grocery store, right? And you go, oh, okay. And you go up there. Don't you want God with you in the third aisle of the grocery store? And don't you want His presence so tangible, His glory so tangible, that the person that you're going to see says, I know this is God. I know this is God. I know this is God. Well, the more that we can be assured that we're coming in His name, the more we can have confidence that that's the case. This is a side story, and it doesn't really have anything to do with it, but hearing and being in Jesus' name and that constant communication in Him, it's like we want to hear God's voice. There was a lady, and she was wanting to hear God's voice, and she said, God, I'll do anything you tell me to do. It doesn't matter what it is. That's dangerous, right? So she was passing the 7-Eleven. And God said, listen, I want you to go into 7-Eleven and stand on your head. Well, first of all, it would take a miracle for me to stand on my head. But this lady could obviously do it. So she goes, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. But she walked into the store. And there was nobody right in there. So she stood on her head. And the clerk that was there came out of the freezer section and she said, you don't understand what you just did. She said, I was in the freezer section and I was putting out this petition. I said, God, if you're up there, she said, if somebody will come in, stand on their head, I'll believe that you are and I won't commit suicide. Don't you think God was in that moment? Yeah. Right? And so we have to begin to believe that this scripture is really true, that I'm in that day. right? Come on again. I am in that day. Glory to God. I am in that day. And whatever I ask in His name, the Father in His name, He'll give it to me. I want Your presence, Lord. I want Your glory, Lord. I want to have more of You in my life so that when I'm representing You, when I'm speaking for You, that Your presence is so tangible that people will absolutely be changed by Your love and by Your glory and by Your... Come on. Can we believe for that? I think we can. Hallelujah. Let's look at a couple of scriptures, and I want to dig into this deeper. But when we come in Jesus' name and not our name, His righteousness is ascribed to His name. We'll develop that later, but just let me say that again and just kind of think about this. When we come to God, the Father, in Jesus' name instead of our name, it's not our righteousness that's coming before Him, but it's His righteousness that we're standing in. So, that is so good. We sing songs sometimes, and I get the gist of them, but the reality of them is that we don't really understand who we are. I'll just give you, and I love this song. I want to be holy to You, O Lord. This is my heart's desire. Well, get born again. Because when you're born again, you are. Because you're in His name. Right? Turn to Acts chapter 3. As you're turning there, though, I heard one man say it this way. He said, though, a lot of times people pray in that name, but they're not really in that name. What do I mean by that? It can be a couple of different things. First of all, they may not be born again, so they really don't have the legal right to be in the name. See, Jesus has to be Lord and Savior of your life in order for His righteousness to come upon you, right? And the second thing is, you can't act any old way you want to be and be in His name. Right? You can't. I mean, I love His mercy. I love His grace. You know, and He's so for us, He even answers prayers when we're knuckleheads. Right? I'm glad for that. Right? I'm so glad for that. But our objective needs to be that when I come in Jesus' name, I'm coming from the place of not only the holiness that's been imputed upon me, but the holiness that's affected me. I'm holy because He's holy, right? And I'm with Him, and if I hang around Him enough, that holiness is going to rub off more and more. But chapter 3 of the book of Acts, and look at verse 4. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." This is describing exactly what I was talking about earlier. "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He said, I don't have anything from the earthly perspective to be able to give you, but I got born again, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are residing with me and in me, so I'm not coming to you anymore by myself, but I'm coming in the name of Jesus. But in the name of Jesus, I can declare some things to you that I couldn't declare to you by myself. Peter and John couldn't have walked up to that man and said, "Rise up and walk," in their name. Because there wasn't power in their name. Because in their name, in their earthly name, without the name of Jesus, they're still in their sin. Do you understand? And I'm not saying they were here because they'd already come into the name of Jesus. But our righteousness and our right standing with God is what gives us access to the power of God, that God can use us to touch somebody else. Oh, glory to God. So we have to be cognizant of that fact. And when somebody asks us to pray for them, we have to begin to think about that for just a minute. I'm not coming to you. I'm not praying for you in the name of Bruce. I'm praying for you in the name of Jesus. Because I am hidden with Christ. My life, everything is hidden in Him. So when you see Him, you see me. And when you see me, you see Him. Because I'm in Him. And Lord, help us to respect that more. Help us to know that more. Help us to desire that more. Help us, Lord, to walk in that more. Look at same chapter, but look at verse 15. And this is them giving the rebuttal to everybody about what they just did. Verse 15, it says, and they're talking to these folks, and they said, "And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." That word witness is really interesting. It's a really interesting word. I just found this out not too long ago. But that word witness is not "we're here to testify of." But what it really means is our life is laid down for the testimony of. In other words, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. So it's no longer me that lives, but it's Him that lives in me. And the life that I need to put myself aside, not worry about my rights or what people are doing to me or for me, but I have to change my mindset that I no longer have a reputation. I no longer have a right to be right. I no longer am in myself. I'm in Him. Right? I'm in Jesus' name. I'm in Jesus' name again. And watch this. This is so good. Again, Peter's talking, and he said, "Which we are witnesses, which we are laid our lives down, which we are martyrs for already. We're dead men walking for Him. And His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which came through Him has given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Wow, that's really powerful. Let's break it down. He said, "And in His name." His name. But not just His name. Through faith in His name. Whose faith in His name? I believe it was the faith of the man who was begging. But I also believe it was the faith of Peter and John in that name. In other words, Jesus told us before He said, "In that day, you'll ask Me nothing, but you'll ask the Father in My name." In other words, you are going to be changed and it's going to be different for you because no longer will you be around Me. No longer will you be walking with Me. No longer you'll be in Me. And My name will be in you. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, "And in His name, through faith in His name, has this man been made strong, whom you know. Yes, the faith which comes through Him has given Him perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So in other words, when we're praying for somebody and we're praying for them in the name of Jesus, we have to understand that it's not how hard I lay my hands on their head. It's not how loud I shout at them. It's not how long I, if that didn't work, then it's your problem, boy. You just don't have, no, it's our ability to understand and recognize that we're in Him and that He's in us. And when we pray for one another in Jesus' name, He's right there with us praying. But it's all because of the fact that He has made us right and given us the right to be able to do that. go to Acts chapter 16. This is so just good. It's just good. It's just good. You know, I sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, I vacillate from knowing that my whole existence since I got saved is to honor Him, is to glorify Him, to back into myself where I need to have this fulfilled and I need to have that fulfilled, and why isn't this happening for me, and God, You've done this for them, but it doesn't seem like You're doing that for me, and all of that. When I get back into that, what I'm actually doing is going back under the flesh. In other words, I'm going back into my rights, what I deserve, what I should have, and all of that. And the reality is that I deserve nothing, right? My goodness will reward me with nothing. I need to come back under the reality that I'm living for Him and in Him, and I have access to Him because of what Jesus did for me. But He did that for me, and I have access to that, and I've laid my life down for Him, and so therefore I'm going to live for Him. In Acts chapter 16, and we're just going to look at one verse, go to verse 31. And so they said, well, we'll do 30. And He brought them out, and they said, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" So they said to Him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved and your household." See, this is the entrance to the name. This is the entrance to the name. Jesus said it this way. He said, "No man comes to the Father but by Me." When we're in the name of Jesus, that means that we have access to the Father. And that's not just talking about when we get to heaven. It's talking about in that day. What day is that? That's today. Let me say that again. That's today. Because Jesus has already done the cross. He's already had His blood approved in heaven. It's already been poured out one time. That's all it took. One time forever. That blood is still justifying those that will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. What must we do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household. Come on, we've got to get back to the understanding that everything I have, everything that I can do, everything is because of Him. And look again at Paul and who Paul was. He was Saul before he got saved, and there's different speculation on that. But anyway, with Saul, he became Paul. And I like that for the identity portion of it. As Saul, he describes himself as perfect keeping the law. He was a religious man. If there was anybody on the earth that deserved God to look at him favorably because of his actions, it was Saul. Right? He was just the man. He was the man's man as far as the religion of Judaism goes. He was the dude. He was it. And he said, "But I count all of that as dung, that I might be found in Him." In who? In Jesus. Be found in Jesus. Why? Because that's where my life is. That's where my righteousness is. That's where my, if you will, my avenue to God is. That's where everything that I've ever desired before, trying to earn it on my own, has been found in Him. So all of my doing, I count as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Over and over again, he said, "Man, I'm praying for y'all that you'd get a knowledge of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd understand who God is because of the name of Jesus and because of your position in that name." If you're saved, you're in the name of Jesus. But when we walk out that salvation, we have to continue to consider ourselves in the name of Jesus. In other words, when our flesh rises up, we have to tell it to shut up. Hello? If we want to act in the name of Jesus, if we want to see His glory manifest in our lives, then it's hard at times. Man, I know it's hard because my flesh rises up. I feel hurt. I feel discouraged. I feel all of those things. And if I talk to several people who pour that onto me, oh, you poor thing. It's just not right. It's just I'm walking out from underneath my life laid down for Jesus, and it becomes ineffectual like God wants it to be effective. I'm coming in His name. I'm coming in His name. Look at this story. Paul and Silas were in prison. This was the very prisoners that put them in shackles and did all the things to them and probably beat them and probably did all kinds of other things and determined to get them in the worst cell in the whole place. This was the same man. But they said, listen, we're going to lay all that aside because your soul being in Jesus is more important than the pain that I just suffered for you, because I laid my life down as a martyr when I got saved to live for Him so that through me He could be glorified. Does that make sense? So when we pray in Jesus' name, it's not just a magic formula. It's not just here's the formula, A, B, C, and no, it's more about our identification with Him and our lack of identity in me. Does that make sense? Come on. I love you with the love of the Lord. Right? Well, you can't love somebody with the love of the Lord if you're always hurt. You can't love people with the love of the Lord if you're offended. You can't love people with the love of the Lord if you're walking in unforgiveness. But all of those things indicate that you're now walking your life in you and not in Him. But there's power in Him. There's life in Him. There's peace in Him. There's freedom in Him. So good. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I hope you all are getting something tonight. I hope you use tonight. I've said this before, but if you feel beat up, don't feel alone, because He beats up on me before He can beat you up, right? I mean, I get this first, and it's so good. And I relish it. I so want it. Why? Because the Bible says that God chastens those that He loves. And it goes on, it's even further in the King James. He said, and I'm going to say it just the way it says it in there, if He's not chastening you or correcting you, then you're a bastard. That means a child that's born out of relationship. Come on, Lord, let me have it. But He always does it for our good and not to point us at how bad we are. He wants to take away those things that are hurting us and put in the things that will bless us. I believe that with all my heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Let me just point this out to you and read these. And such were some of you, but you were washed. When did you get washed? When did you get washed? When I got born again. I was washed by the blood of Jesus when I got born again. But you were sanctified. What does that mean? You were set apart. You were set apart for God's special purpose and God's special design. He designed a plan where people could come to Him. And if they'd receive by faith Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they would be set apart for heaven. That's you and me. And it's because of Him. And you were justified, I love that word, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, all of these things come into effect. When I'm praying in Jesus' name, I'm coming as someone who is washed. I'm coming someone who is sanctified. But I'm also coming one who is justified. Why? Because Jesus was sanctified by God for the purpose of being the sacrificial lamb which washed everybody who came to Him by the blood of His own body. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. But I'm coming in Him and in His name. When I come in His name, I come as one who's washed. I come as one who's set apart. And I come as one who is justified. What does that mean? The justice that was required for me to be made holy has already taken place. I'm justified in His sight. So when I come and I pray in the name of Jesus, I'm coming with that understanding. And the more that I believe that, the more that I walk in that, the more I can become an avenue of God to be used to bring that presence that is Him Himself into other people's lives. In that day, He said, you won't pray to the Father, or you won't pray to me, you won't ask me anything, but you'll ask the Father in my name. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming, Lord, because I don't have the answer for the world. I don't have the answer for my kids. I don't have the answer for many things, but You do. So I'm coming in You. I'm coming in Your name. Father, in the name of Jesus. I want you to get this picture in your head the next time you sit down to pray, or even over your meal, right? Everybody, most of us pray over the meal. Sometimes we forget and miss it, but most of the time we pray and give God thanks for our meal. But you're sitting there at the table and you're at a restaurant and you know, you're not making a display of yourself or anything, but you're just holding hands. But you say, Father, in Jesus' name, just sense His presence at the table at that moment. Because you're there, He's there. Because you're there, He's there. So Lord, I know that if Your glory showed up in this restaurant, man, things would be flying all over the place. Well, let's start believing that every time we say, Father, in Jesus' name, He's there. Not because I'm good, not because I'm holy, but because He's holy, because He's good, because He's my justifier, He's my sanctifier. Oh, hallelujah. All right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In this whole chapter of chapter 5, it's actually about you being a witness to others. It's about you having an effect on the world that you live in. But look at verse 17. We know this verse. But let's go back to 16. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him no longer. Paul knew Jesus according to the flesh because Jesus appeared to him and he was put on the ground as he was walking to Damascus. He had a personal revelation, but he said, I don't see Him that way anymore. In other words, He's not appearing to me every day in the morning. I don't see Him face to face. We knew Him in the flesh, but we don't know Him in the flesh anymore. Well, let me read that again. So, therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore, from now on, regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him no longer. We need to start looking at each other through the lens of His Word rather than the lens of our feelings. I'll let that just sink in for a minute. Therefore, because we don't look at anybody any longer according to the flesh, according to what they were, according to how they act, according to any of the things that the world system and everything has had an effect on them. Therefore, because of that, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we're coming as a new creation. We're praying as a new person. We're praying as one that He sanctified. We're praying one that He justified. We're praying as one that He washed. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now watch this, because I think this is so interesting. A lot of times we'll go from 17 and just jump down to 21. But I think the verses in between are awesome because we're in the name of Jesus and we're a new creation for purpose. For purpose. And it's not just so that we can get goosebumps when we sing hallelujah. Although I like that. Right? I do like that, and I love those times. But the reality is that has nothing to do necessarily with my eternity or anybody else's eternity. But look at what He says. He says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Then you've been reconciled to God. Reconciled is an interesting term. You know, remember when we had check ledgers and we have a checking account and we'd keep that thing. Some of us would keep that register and we'd make sure that the spending was reconciled to what the statement was. And if it wasn't, we'd make, you know. But then some of us, it's close enough. You know, what's a few cents between friends? But with Donnie, it's like, no, there's 3 cents off. I got to find this to reconcile this, because it's not right. Well, when God reconciled you, He reconciled you to the penny. He didn't do it just ballpark. Well, I guess that's good enough. That's my reconciliation of my checkbook. No, His was, it's to the penny. It's all correct. Whew! Now all things are of God, who's reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Watch this now. When I became a Christian, when I gave my life to Jesus, I said, I'm in Him. I'm no longer in myself. I'm living my life for Him, not for me. This word ministry means it's a person who lays himself down for others. So I was made a participant of this reconciliation, but the minute that I did, He made me a missionary of reconciliation to others. But watch this. The more that we know that we're in Him and live from the standpoint that it's in Jesus' name that I live and that I move and that I have my being, that when I'm out proclaiming the message of reconciliation, I can know that He's with me. How does that affect it? It does incredibly. How many have ever talked to somebody and you felt like you were getting nowhere? How many have ever been in a situation where you're praying for somebody, there's just not a connection here? But watch this. If you're aware and you're listening and the Spirit of God is with you because He's made you a minister of reconciliation, He knows the heart of the person. And you can say, look, it doesn't matter what I have to say in that self-same hour. The Holy Spirit will give me the words to speak because the Spirit of God knows the heart of the person and knows the heart of the Father. And He's going to give them the opportunity to be reconciled. So I'm not coming to witness to you in my name. I'm not coming to pray for you in my name. I'm coming to pray for you or to minister to you in His name. And if I come in His name, He's there. I hope this is getting across. Glory to God. Look at this. Verse 19, it says, That is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I'm in Him. Jesus, come on. I'm not saying that Jesus wouldn't point out sin. I believe He did. But at the same time, His objective was not to point out sin to bring you to shame. His point was to bring out sin to show you the need. The need of having a Savior and pointing to the work that He did. But we are now those folks, you and I. So we pray in the name of Jesus, when we act in the name of Jesus, when we live in the name of Jesus, then He's with us to help us carry out what He's put in our heart to do. Verse 20 says, now then, everybody say, now then. When is now? So that'd be right now. So right now. When you wake up in the morning, is it going to be now? Right? Tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, is it going to be now? It's going to be right now. Now then, right now. Right now. You and I, right now. Tonight, right now. I hope I've gotten that across. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now watch this. As though God were pleading through us. Because I'm in the name of Jesus and because I'm in the finished work of Jesus, God wants to use me to talk to somebody else. What a privilege. But we've got to become more aware that we're operating and living in this life in the name of Jesus. Therefore, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us, that we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, it's the message, but it's not only the message, it's the presence that's behind the message. If if I go on my own, I need not go. But if I know that I'm going in Him and with Him, and I'm not saying that I have to wait for goosebumps or anything, but when I get in the morning prayer and I just say, Father, I'm coming to You in the name of Jesus and I'm dedicating this day to You, Lord. And so lead me and show me, bring other people across my path that in the name of Jesus I might have an effect on somebody else. I can't tell you the times where this has worked. I'll tell you one, and then we'll finish up. I was praying this the other day. I was worshiping the Lord, praying this, and I got a call from Queen Helen. She called me on the phone through Facebook Messenger, and I was talking with her, and we probably talked for 40 minutes. But in that, I began to be used by God, because I'd prayed, God, send somebody that I could bless today, somebody that You could speak through me to. And it was like the Spirit of God was in her bedroom or wherever she was, and she was overcome by the Spirit of God over a Facebook call. Why? Because I'm all that? No, but because He is in me. And I am in Him, and He was able to use me to speak something to her that it wasn't the reason that she called, but she said it blessed her, right? And God gets all the glory, but I want to be this ambassador. That's who I want to be, and I want to be it because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and because I'm in the name of Jesus, I'm not only qualified, I'm equipped. All right. Verse 21 says, For He made Him who knew no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. When I pray to the Father in Jesus' name, I'm not praying because of my right standing in the name of Bruce. I'm praying to the Father in His right standing, because I'm praying as the fact that I'm in Christ Jesus, I'm praying in the name of Jesus and everything that's associated with that. Glory to God. Glory to God. And He said in Mark chapter 16, He said, He was talking about the Great Commission, and He said, in My name, you'll lay hands on the sick. In My name, you'll speak with new tongues. In My name, you know, you'll cast out demons. In My name. And I could tell you story after story after story of how in my life, God has been there when I've actively been in the name of Jesus. Amen. Did you get something tonight? Yes, ma'am. Queen Helen, well, see, Queen Elizabeth died, and no. Queen Helen is Pastor Frank Butai's wife, and in Uganda, they often refer to the pastor's wife as the queen of the church. And so her title over there is Queen Helen, so that's how we refer to her. So thank you for that clarification. Yeah, I had the queen to call me. Anyway, but it's so good. It's so good. Aren't you glad she's on the front row? She can help keep me straight. It's awesome. But let's pray. Father, if there's anybody who does not know You that's listening to my voice, I'm coming in the name of Jesus, and I'm asking You to touch them where they are. If they're sitting in their recliner, or they're sitting in or laying in their bed, or if they're just on the phone watching this, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that You will touch their heart. I'm praying for one specifically that on my heart they've been crushed, they've been hurt, and their heart has been shattered, and they've kept that shattered heart in a concrete box, so to speak, that they're not going to be hurt again. Lord, I'm asking You to touch them and to give them an indication that it's all right for You to open their heart to You, that you'll touch them. If that's you tonight, just let Him touch you. He will. He loves you. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it describes how to do it. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So do that tonight, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Look to Him in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Amen. He's so good, isn't He?